All right, I want to remind you ladies that tomorrow night you'll have your ladies meeting at 6:30 here at the church. And so, you know, y'all look forward to that. And then, I want to go ahead and let you know, and still show up, but I will not be here next Sunday night. Brother Jeremiah is going to be preaching. I got asked to preach and end the missions conference down in Bowie. And so it'll be my first time preaching there since I've left the staff. And so just excited for that opportunity and everything. And so pray for me as I do that. But Brother Jeremiah will be here filling in next Sunday night for that. Romans chapter 5 is where we're going to be tonight. Continuing on. And it's going to look at the same verses we looked at last week. But just, of course, continue on with them. The more I dig into the book of Romans, the more I'm understanding that you really can't preach everything that you study. You can't preach everything that impacts your life, because if I did, it would really take us years to get through just the book of Romans, let alone any other book of the Bible. There's so many books that are just full of amazing detail and everything, and so as we get into tonight, I want to remind you that we've been dealing with being justified by faith and the fact that it is faith alone. That justification only comes about because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Jerry Ross said, going to heaven has nothing to do with what I am, but everything to do with what Jesus did for me. And that is very key. It's nothing we did. And so last week we started developing this idea that we see here in Romans chapter 5, that there are some blessings that come about because of our justification by faith. And I'm not going to re-preach all of last week's message, but for sake of review, and for those of us that were here and for sake of those that might not have been here, I want to briefly cover the three that we went over last week. We talked about there in verse 1, you see that we have peace with God. And so because of what Jesus did on the cross, we were taken from the position of enemy and we were placed in the position of child of God. And with that, we were given peace with God. And I want to remind you that that peace with God is different than peace of God. Peace of God is kind of in the moment when you're going through some struggling situation and you have that peace of God come over you. That's what that is. But this is a position that you hold. You are now at peace with God, and that is a blessing that we have that comes about because of being justified by faith. And then we looked at the fact that we stand in grace. And of course, grace being the idea of unmerited favor. It's God giving us what we do not deserve. And so we have this access to God by faith into this grace. And really the only reason we're able to stand in front of a holy God is because of His grace. Because if it wasn't for His grace, He would have nothing to do with us. And then we looked at the third one, that we rejoice in hope. And remember, this is not some hope like we wouldn't necessarily understand it, that we would be familiar with. You know, like, well, I hope the Seattle Mariners have a good baseball season. Probably not going to happen. But, you know, that's a hope. The hope that we're talking about is a sure hope. And because we have the sure hope in Jesus, we are able to rejoice even through the tribulations that we face. Because we know that they are spiritually maturing us and getting us closer to the glory of God. And so tonight we want to look at the remaining three blessings of being justified by faith. And really, each one of these could be their own message. But we're going to go ahead and start reading in verse 1. We'll reread what we looked at last week and then dive into the three blessings for this week. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And so we see there, starting in verse number 5, that one of the blessings that we have because of being justified is we know a love like no other love. In talking about this hope that we have, Paul says that this hope makes us not ashamed. He goes on to say that the reason we're not ashamed is because God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to break this down a little bit and look at each aspect of this. First of all, we as Christians should not be ashamed. We should boldly claim that we are a Christian. We should unashamedly announce that we are a follower of Christ. And many times we get ashamed, and usually we get ashamed because, number one, maybe we're not living like we ought to live, or maybe we're afraid because we're not sure that we can clearly defend the Bible or clearly defend our beliefs and things of that nature, and we're not sure we maybe understand everything. Listen, I, as the preacher and a student of the Word, don't understand all of it. I was reminded this week, I'm reading through the Gospels in my personal Bible reading time, and it amazes me the amount of times you see the phrase, something along the lines of, the disciples didn't understand it. For 3.5 years, Jesus said, I'm going to die, and in 3 days I'll raise up, and then he dies, and they're going, what? They had no clue. They didn't understand it. And so I don't feel so bad when I don't understand Scripture all the way. But sometimes we're afraid that maybe a lack of understanding or a lack of knowledge might hinder us from sharing the gospel. And so we become a little ashamed there. And listen, nobody can defend every little bit of their faith. But we should have no problem letting people know that we serve a risen Savior. There are other religions out there that are preaching and teaching false doctrines and false salvation, and they boldly claim where they stand. They're very vocal about their belief, but we who have the truth aren't always as vocal. We're also supposed to let other people see us living a good Christian life, so then that they give God glory. And we even talked about that with just Nehemiah building the walls. I mean, what they did gave God glory. Maybe you remember that little kid's song. Anybody remember the song, This Little Light of Mine? And you would sing that, and maybe you remember the verse, hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. And unfortunately, too many of us have our light hidden under a bushel. We are ashamed of our stance. And Paul here says that as we live the Christian life and as we grow in the Christian life, we have this hope here, and this hope, the sure hope that we have, makes us to where we're not ashamed of God. And one of the things the passage tells us that helps us not be ashamed is because God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You see, God's love just completely fills us. And because of that love, it just really flows out into the rest of our life. And they end up seeing, those around us end up seeing God's love through us. Part of that also, we end up living the Christian life because we love the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about the fact that the love of God constrains us, and that being the idea that his love for us urges us and compels us to live for him. And that's kind of the idea we see here in Romans chapter 5, that since God's love is shed abroad in our hearts, it makes us to where we're not ashamed. We're not ashamed because he loves us. And don't miss this fact that it comes about by the Holy Ghost. In fact, when you read verses 1 through 11, you see over and over again, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You see all of them mentioned time and time again. And so Paul goes on to continue talking about this love we're given. And we talked a little bit about it last week, but I want to look at it in regards to these verses. Paul reminds us here that when Jesus died for us, we were ungodly and without strength. We were of no benefit to Jesus Christ when he loved us. We were, in fact, his enemy. And so verse 6 and verse 7 really lay out this idea. I'm going to read them again. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. This concept, would somebody really give their life to save somebody that they view as a righteous person? And one might. You might defend somebody that's righteous and be willing to die for them. And we find that even for a good man, some might dare to die. Of course, you know, there's some people that they're bodyguards and things of that nature. It's not typical. You're not just sitting there volunteering going, hey, I'm willing to die for somebody else. And usually if you do find that, it's somebody worth dying for. As a man, and all of you husbands and fathers would relate, I would die for my family. That's worth it to me because I love them. However, you see in verse 8 this magnificent word, but. But God commendeth his love toward us. Okay, so God loves us. But he did so while we were yet sinners. You see, Paul is saying that most people aren't even willing to die for a person that is doing good and has a lot going for them. But God was willing to send his son, and Jesus was willing to die while we were still sinners. While we were still his enemies. We were wicked, we were miserable, and in God's eyes we were completely wretched. But God still loved us enough that he sent Jesus Christ. We have to reference here John 3:16 because in my mind, John 3:16 and Romans 5:8 go hand in hand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so because he loved us so much, and this reminds us here in Romans 5:8 that he loved us while we were still his enemies. And so he loved us and he sent Jesus to die for us. All while we were wicked, horrible sinners. And that's the type of love that we're talking about. That's the blessing that we have by being justified by faith, is we are able to have that kind of love shed abroad in our hearts. Because guess what? In and of ourselves, we can't love like we're supposed to. Yeah, I get it. You see some love out there, okay? An unsaved person can love, and a backslidden Christian could love and things of that nature. You have mothers and fathers that love their kids, and you have people that love their neighbor, but you also have a lot of not love happening. Because apart from the Holy Spirit giving us God's love, there's no way that we can love like God loves. And here's why. God loves people when they're unlovable. Our love is very temperamental. We love people when they're acting right, when they're doing things right for us. But no matter how disappointed God is in us, no matter how far we turn our back on God, he still loves us regardless. And so, and you might sit there and go, well, you don't know what that person did to me. They can't be loved. Well, let me remind you that we were God's enemy. We were against him and he still loved us. And so because of our faith, we're able to have access to God's love. And that love is put in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And we're able to live unashamedly because of that. But then we see another blessing that we have is assurance of salvation. You see that there in verse 9 and 10. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This is an amazing verse. And of course, this verse talks about the fact that we are justified by his blood and we're saved from wrath through Jesus Christ. And notice that this justification only happens through his blood. Hebrews 9:22 says, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so if Jesus Christ had not shed his blood, our sins would never be forgiven. We'd still be lost and on our way to hell. But we're justified, we're declared righteous because of his blood. And it talks about the fact that we're saved from wrath. And we'll talk more about that here in a minute. But notice that he comes back to the idea that we were his enemies. We were reconciled to God. That means we were made at peace with him. But we also notice the wording there that we were saved by Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus didn't just make everything right between us and God. He also gave us eternal life in that moment as well. Listen, Jesus Christ could have just made us at peace with God. He could have just simply done that and said, you know what? I'm just going to create peace between the two. But he took it a step further, and it was God's plan to do so. He saved us. He did both. He put us at peace with God in reconciling us, but he also gave us eternal life and saved us from wrath. And there's several thoughts with wrath here. There's, of course, the idea that there's wrath while we are living. Okay, if we were the enemies of God, we would be facing his wrath on this earth. But there's still also going to come a day where everybody is going to stand before God. And they're going to be in danger of his judgment. And so at that point, if God declares someone guilty, they're going to face his eternal wrath in hell. And so the only way you're declared innocent is if you are justified by faith and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And in doing that, he has saved you from the eternal wrath of God. And one of the things I'm so thankful for is that salvation can never be lost. For 1 John 5:13 talks about it, that these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. There are a lot of religions out there that teach that you can lose your salvation, and once you've gained it could be lost. And listen, we talked a little bit about it last week. You never see a term in the Bible like re-justified or re-reconciled, because those things, that justification and that reconciliation is a one-time act. It happens once. And so Jesus Christ died once, and in that moment he justified and reconciled us for the rest of our life. That was good enough to last forever. And so the moment that we truly accept him as Savior, then we're covered for the rest of our life. Again, there are many out there that teach that you can lose your salvation and that you have to maintain your salvation, because if you mess it up, oh, you're done. You're going to lose it. But here's the thing. If you never did anything to earn your salvation, you can never do anything to maintain it. It's all in Jesus Christ's hands. And it's all been done. Here's the thing. The moment we start saying, well, you know, it's possible to lose your salvation, what we're really doing is saying, hey, Jesus Christ's blood wasn't enough to take care of my sins for all eternity. It just wasn't enough. No, my friend, it was enough. It was enough to cleanse us from all unrighteousness for all eternity. And so I'm so thankful that this salvation that he offers is something that can never be lost. God says that no man can pluck us out of his hand, and that means we can't pluck our own self out of his hand. And so that is something that we are thankful for. It is a blessing, because being saved from God's wrath and having this assurance of salvation is only brought about because of our justification through faith. But then we also see here in verse 11 that the last blessing we have is that we have joy in God himself. Now, y'all are all excited. He's already on the last point. I figured since I preached really long this morning, I'd kind of make it. No, you know me. I never worry about any of that. I just preach what God has and try to be quiet after that. But I want to show something interesting here. I've tried to teach you guys that when you're reading, you look for repeated terms and words that are repeated. And you see here, as you break this down, that verses 3 through verse 10 are actually all one thought. He's dealing with one main thought. He's showing some things in between. And so verse 11, you find the same terminology that you actually find in verse 3. And he says here, and not only so. So I'm going to read this. I'm going to skip verses 3 through 10. Verse 4 through 10. I'm going to start back in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Then jump to verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And he essentially, the middle of verse 3 to the end of verse 10 is all one thought. He's dealing with this idea of tribulations and patience and all of that. And so he's saying here that the big overarching thought that he's dealing with is the fact that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of the Lord. We also glory in tribulations, and then we also joy in God. When Paul is going on about tribulations and hope and Christ's love, it's all tied to the glorying in tribulations. And of course, we broke it down a little bit more, but I'm going to summarize it really quickly. We glory in tribulations because tribulations spiritually mature us and bring us to a point of having a sure hope. And that sure hope makes it where we are not ashamed, because God's love is placed in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And because of that love that God gave us, we are saved from eternal wrath. So really, throughout this entire passage, Paul's really dealing with three main thoughts: that we rejoice in hope, and then glory in tribulations, and then we joy in God. And that wording kind of seems a little odd. In fact, I had to stop and think for a moment, because as I was reading it, I was like, oh, you know, we have joy in God or something of that nature. But he says we also joy in God. He doesn't use the term we rejoice in God. He doesn't say we have joy. I want to make sure I don't say anything wrong here. He doesn't say, well, we have joy because of God. He says we joy in God. It's unique there, because the word joy in this instance is a verb. And in fact, in the Greek, it is the only time you will find this word joy used in the entire Bible. It is a unique word used in this instance. It pretty much means to boast or to vaunt. It carries some of the idea of rejoicing, but it takes it a step further, where we are essentially boasting in God through Jesus, who allowed us to receive the atonement. The word atonement is just another word for reconciliation, but really throughout this entire passage, we've seen amazing things and amazing thoughts about salvation. But what Paul is getting at here is the fact that we boast in God. We're supposed to boast in God. And we find clearly throughout Scripture that we're not to boast in and of ourselves. That's why you find verses like Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, where it says that it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then Romans 3:27, Paul is dealing with it, and he says, well, where is boasting then? It is excluded. There's no way we can boast, because we're not earning our salvation ourselves. And so if we can't boast in and of ourselves, then we gotta, if we're going to boast, the boasting's got to go somewhere, and it all goes towards God, is what Paul's saying here. So because of what Jesus did on the cross, we have no ability to boast in ourselves, but all the boasting goes towards God Almighty. We're essentially to brag on God and to give Him the glory and the praise. And this ties in heavily with verse 5, because if you're acting ashamed, then you're really not going to be boasting in God. If you're ashamed, you're really not talking much about what God's done. But that's not the case. I'm going to speak very candidly here, and some of you might be scared of that after this morning. But I love having moments where we stop and just praise the Lord. And we've had some moments where it's been impromptu in the service. And we've had moments where we've done like a praise and pie night. And it's kind of shocking, because sometimes in those moments, many of us have nothing to say. I believe the big reason for that is maybe we're a little shy. We don't like to speak out. But listen, because of the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts, we should be unashamed to be willing to stand up and make boast of God. You should be able to praise the Lord, because you're not giving glory to yourself. Let me remind you, if it wasn't for God, you would not be where you're at today. If it was not for God's love that He gave to us while we were sinners, we would not be saved from the wrath to come. We would not be reconciled to Him. And that's exactly what this passage is talking about. He dealt with in Romans chapter 3 the fact of salvation, and then he's been dealing with the fact that it is by faith alone. And so he's bringing us to this point where, hey, it is nothing that you have done. All the boasting goes to God. And we would do well to remember that. We should have no problem letting people know what God's been doing in our life, because in the end, we're not bragging on ourselves. And we've got to make sure that we're not coming at it from that way. Well, yep, guess how great of a Christian I am. Apart from God's grace, we'd be nothing. And that's why it's so key when it talks about wherein the grace that ye stand. It's only because of His grace. It's only because God is just a good God that we're anywhere that we are should be at today. So as we close tonight, I want to remind you of these six blessings. Number one, we have peace with God. That is a position that we have. We are placed at peace with Him. And then number two, we stand in grace. Again, if it wasn't for His grace, there's no way that we would be able to stand before an almighty God. And number three, we rejoice in hope. It is a sure hope that we have. It's not a, well, I kind of hope this. It is a sure thing. And number four, we know a love like no other love. If it wasn't for what Jesus did, we wouldn't know what love is. And number five, we have assurance of salvation, and we're able to have that for all eternity. And then number six, we joy in God Himself. So as we go home tonight, I want to encourage you to meditate on these blessings, because many times we live the Christian life and we just go from day to day to day without really thinking about our Christianity, our relationship with God. But if it wasn't for God, I don't know where I'd be. And I think each and every one of us could give testimony of that in our own lives. And so we should be very thankful. I know we are, but I hope this has been a reminder of the blessings that we have because of our faith, and the fact that it only comes about because of God's love for us and because of His grace. I'm going to ask Brother Danny if you'd close our service in prayer, please.